You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
We are now approaching mid-January of 1990, and this is also that time of the year when many people become discouraged. They feel like giving up. Sociologists point out that January is that month when all the joy of life seems to stop. Only 6 weeks ago, there was the excitement of Thanksgiving, and this was followed by the joyous season of Christmas, which in turn was followed almost immediately by the celebrations of the New Year. But then it often seems that all celebrating and merriment comes abruptly to an end, and a period of gloom and even doom sets in. No wonder, then, that this is the time of the year when many people believe there is nothing in life to look forward to. Because, you see, the next major celebration is Easter, and that is a long, long way off. And as if this gloom were not enough, then we learn from the newspapers that January is also the month which seems to precipitate endless family problems. This is also usually the month which has the highest rate of divorce. Couples often intentionally wait until after Christmas to split because they don't want things to look bad in front of the family during the holidays. And, of course, there are also those others who are led to believe that a new spouse will correct all their problems in 1990. January is also the time of the year when people reevaluate their lives and their jobs, and it is not unusual for mature men and women to begin speaking openly, as if they have been treated worse than anybody else in all of history. Oh, yes, January is that month of the year when the devil convinces a good number of people that there is no way that they can continue in life. It would be just as good, they feel, if they just gave up. And it is for this reason that we today have selected an upbeat section from the Bible that has, for centuries, given hope to so many people, so many of the discouraged and the depressed. And maybe you too, this January, as you face the new year of 1990, you also may need new strength and new hope. Oh yes, you may need a new approach to life, whereby the many challenges that you are now facing are no longer obstacles. So, my friend, on the basis of the Bible, I want to tell you that through faith in Jesus Christ, all the challenges that you are now facing can be actually turned into a blessing. I know this may sound a bit ridiculous, but don't listen to me. Listen to a man of many trials. Listen to the Holy Spirit-inspired confession of the Apostle Paul. St. Paul was indeed a veteran of perpetual hardships. And, as a result, St. Paul is not explaining religious theories when he talks. He is not merely spouting positive thinking. St. Paul is talking about firsthand experiences in life and in his faith. The Apostle Paul listed the endless problems and the trials that he himself had faced in life. But then he said this, "Nevertheless, I am still content with weaknesses. I am content with insults. I am content with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, said the Apostle Paul, then I am strong." A contradiction. A blatant contradiction. This would be the response that many today would make to the confession of this courageous missionary. Nobody in their right mind could ever say that when they are weak, then they are actually strong. And I admit this is an apparent contradiction. But let me first explain. You and I can understand what St. Paul was saying only on the basis of faith. St. Paul was simply saying that when he was willing to give up trying to live life by his own strength and by his own power, and when he, in his human frailty and helplessness, finally turned in faith to Jesus Christ, then he experienced the strength and the courage he needed to face any and all challenges of life. When I am weak, When I have given up handling life by myself, said St. Paul, then I am strengthened, as I, in faith, turn to the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe some of you today who are listening would like to agree with St. Paul, but you quickly add that he wouldn't speak so positively about life if he would have experienced just a few things that you have recently gone through. But quite honestly, I doubt that, because when we listen to the beatings of the flesh and the psychological batterings of the mind that St. Paul repeatedly endured, then I think we would all agree that this man had been through more than most of us could ever imagine. As you today are tempted by the devil to believe that life could not possibly become much worse for you and your family, then listen first to the confessions of this missionary. I was beaten times without number, St. Paul said, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Now, of course, in 1990, one would think all these trials and hardships would be about as much as any man could bear. Not so. St. Paul then says that to top it all off, he then received a thorn in the flesh. He said it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, to keep him from bragging about himself. St. Paul said, I begged the Lord 3 times to take away my thorn in the flesh. But God simply responded by saying, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. This then was the turning point for St. Paul. And this example from God's Word may also help you and your family to reach that positive turning point in your life also. So now when St. Paul understood by faith that he was strengthened through his bond with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in Jesus he could face any and all challenges of life, then his entire attitude in life changed. In spite of persecution and beatings, Paul was content. He said, I am no longer going to be concerned about problems and weaknesses. Rather, he said, I am going to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I am well content with weaknesses. I am content with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, he said, then in faith I am strong. Oh, my friend, would you agree with me? This is the faith that you and your family need for 1990. You don't need a faith or a religion that makes you feel good when everything around you is going fine. What you need is a faith that will strengthen and encourage you when all hell breaks loose around you, when nothing goes well, and when everything and everybody seems to be doing things wrong and saying the wrong thing. However, I must also say this, that if you are looking for a solid and reliable faith for 1990, you are going to have to be very, very careful what you select or what you accept as religion. There are a lot of counterfeit religions floating around today. You probably know that as well as I do. Not long ago, the Minnesota-based Institute for Ecumenical and Cultural Research reported that our society is rapidly adopting a sort of pick-and-choose approach in religion. It is sort of like shopping for religion in a supermarket. Several major magazines have carried articles on this very subject. Most people today believe whatever they want. They sort of push their religious shopping cart through the aisles of life and select whatever they desire. They make their own religion. The part of religion or the Bible that they like, they keep. And the part of religion or the Bible that they feel uncomfortable with, they either overlook or they even discard. Now, this approach to religion may be convenient, And this approach to religion may have been the in thing in 1989 or even in 1990. But this is not the religion of the Bible, and it is not the type of faith that Jesus preached. Jesus said this. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things," Jesus said, "all things whatever I have commanded you." Jesus did not say, "Teach them to pick and choose whatever they want." No, Jesus said, "Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And of course, my friend, the very first thing that Jesus wants you and me to observe is the fundamental reason why Jesus came as a baby to be born in Bethlehem, and why he, Jesus, died on the cross of Calvary. "I did not come to this earth to be served," Jesus said. "I came to serve others." But most of all, Jesus said, "I came to give my life as a ransom." Now, you may have heard others preach and teach all kinds of ideas about Jesus, who he was, and why he came to this earth. But the bottom line is simply this. Jesus stated it emphatically and clearly when he said, "I came to give my life as a ransom." Now, it is indeed interesting to notice that if you go into the reference section of any major library today, and if you look in the large Webster's Third New International Dictionary, under the subject of ransom, this word has two major entries. In its first entry, the word ransom is defined as a payment to buy back a kidnapped victim. Secondly, ransom is defined in religious terms, and the Webster's Third New International Dictionary says this, that a ransom means to deliver from sin or its penalty. And the example used in this major research reference book is a line taken from the hymn writer Charles Wesley. Wesley wrote this. He said, "He lives triumphant over the grave, my soul to keep and to save." Wesley was, of course, referring to Jesus, who defeated death and the grave and thereby ransomed or bought back with his own blood the souls of men. Oh yes, my friend, that is why Jesus is so important to you today, to your family, for all of you, for 1990. Jesus has bought you back from sin and from death, and the price he paid was his own innocent blood and death. Jesus was God's ransom for you. No wonder churches around the world, as they begin their festive Advent season, often sing the great hymn entitled, "Come, Thou Precious Ransom, Come." And this same Jesus who gave his life as a ransom for you, as a payment to buy you back from sin and guilt, this same Jesus is now offering you and your family a rock-solid faith for 1990. But this can happen only if you are willing to give up trying to handle all your problems in life by yourself. Having a rock-solid faith for 1990 means to respond to the invitation of Jesus when he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus, my friend, is a real person. He is not the product of a cultic imagination. Jesus is living today. He is the one who once was slain on the cross of Calvary, and the one who now stands again alive at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is the one who came back from the dead. He defeated sin and death and the devil. Jesus is the one who is saying to you, "For 1990, please try me. Read my words of life," Jesus says, "as I have given this bread to you in the Bible. For 1990, listen to my words of life as they are preached in the church. For 1990, pray to me," Jesus is saying. "Come unto me, for everybody who comes to me, I will never, ever turn away." And, of course, this is what the Apostle Paul did. He gave up the frustration and hell of trying to live life by his own power, and he gave up trying to save himself through his own religious efforts. Earlier in his life, Paul tried to do everything by himself. He even tried to take care of his own religious needs. But then he was converted to Jesus, And even though his problems increased after his conversion, so did his peace and his joy and his strength to face life. For this reason, St. Paul was then enabled to say, I am content with weaknesses. I am content with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak in my own efforts, then by faith, St. Paul said, I can still be truly strong in Jesus Christ. Oh no, my friends, for 1990, don't seek a situation where you will have no more problems in life. There is no such thing on this earth. Problems are a product of the devil and his angels, and also a product of our own sinful flesh. And the devil today is alive and busy and doing a lot of things. What you and your family need for 1990 is a faith to not only exist in 1990, but you need a faith which will permit you to thrive and even rejoice in the midst of all of your difficulties. A faith which will permit you to rise above and even thrive upon all the obstacles which the devil is now threatening to throw against you during this coming year. 1990 is going to be a challenge for you and me. Newspaper columnists, television commentators, and magazine writers increasingly inform us that the traditional moral and ethical foundations of our society are rapidly crumbling. In a human sense, this is certainly not encouraging, but neither is this the time for you, for me, or for your family to give up. Now is the time for us to shift our foundations for faith and life from our frail and frustrated selves unto the solid and eternal rock foundation of Jesus. And so, my friends, in 1990, build upon Jesus. And when you do, you will be enabled to rejoice even in your moments of weakness and your hours of despair. Yes, then you and your family shall be enabled with St. Paul to say, I am well content with weaknesses. I am even content with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then in Christ I am strong. Oh, alone you and your family, my friend, will surely find things very, very difficult in 1990. But with Jesus. Then with Jesus you shall not only survive, but you will thrive with great joy, with strength, and with the blessings of the Almighty God. May this be true for you and your family this coming year. Amen.